Murray Hill, New Jersey, 1972. Two men are sitting in a windowless office at the back of a building belonging to Bell Telephone Laboratories. The carpet is industrial brown. The light is fluorescent. The air smells faintly of cigarette smoke and the dry warmth that mainframe rooms used to give off when they were running hard. On the desks, yellow legal pads, half-empty coffee cups, and a stack of printouts on green and white striped paper. The two men, both thin, both bearded, both in their early 30s, have spent the past several years building a small operating system they have begun calling Unix, and a small programming language to write that operating system in, which they have begun calling C. Their names are Ken Thompson and Dennis Ritchie. The thing they're working on this particular afternoon, is not the operating system itself. It is a piece of software that almost no one outside their building has heard of yet, and almost no one outside their field will ever hear about. They are writing a program whose entire purpose is to read other programs and translate them. The input is the language they have just invented, the language called C, written by a human being on a typewriter or a terminal. The output is the language of the actual computer, the chip, the silicon, a vocabulary of perhaps a few dozen primitive operations that the machine itself can carry out. Add this number to that number. Compare these two values. Jump to that address. Write this byte into that piece of memory. The piece of software that does the translating has a name. It is called a compiler. The first one, the one Ritchie is writing, will, in 1973, be capable of compiling itself. The program will read its own source code as input and produce, as output, an upgraded version of itself. From that moment forward, every important piece of software in the world will be the descendant, in one way or another, of that quiet, fluorescent-lit afternoon in New Jersey. This is Rust, gently. A patient introduction to how computers actually work and to one particular language for talking to them. I am your host. This is episode 19, The Build. Today I want to walk you through what happens between a programmer pressing the save key on a text file full of source code and a real working program running on a real machine. That space, that translation, is one of the great quiet achievements of the field. By the end of this 15 minutes, you will have a sense of the six stages a compiler goes through to turn human language into machine action. Why one particular piece of plumbing called LLVM sits inside almost every modern language, and why Rust, the language this show is named for, is faster than you might expect for a language that gives you so many warnings while you write it. Let me set up the problem first, because it is genuinely strange. The text on a programmer's screen, the words and braces and semicolons and names of things, is meaningful to other programmers. It is, with practice, even readable. But the computer, the actual physical chip in the box on the desk, has absolutely no notion of any of it. The chip understands one thing, and one thing only, which is a long sequence of numbered instructions, each of which corresponds to a particular pattern of electrical signals flipping inside it. Move the contents of this little compartment, called a register, to that other little compartment. Add the number in this register to the number in that one. Jump to a different point in the instruction stream. Read this byte from memory. Write that byte to memory. Each of these primitive operations is, in the end, just a small whole number sitting in a sequence of other small whole numbers fed into the chip one at a time at billions of times per second. So between the file the programmer has saved, which is a string of letters and punctuation, and the sequence of small whole numbers the chip will eventually consume, there is an enormous distance to be crossed. The thing that crosses it is called a compiler. The crossing is called compilation, or, more colloquially, the build. A compiler, in any modern language, does its work in stages. Six of them, roughly, with different names and different traditions, but the same underlying shape every time. Let me walk you through the stages with a single sentence in mind, a sentence in roughly the form a programmer might type. Imagine the sentence is, in plain words, let the variable named x equal 5. We will follow that sentence through the machine. The first stage is called lexing, or sometimes tokenizing. The compiler reads the file character by character and groups the characters into meaningful little chunks. The word let is recognized as a special instruction, the keyword let. The single character x is recognized as a name the programmer has chosen for something. The equal sign is recognized as an operator. The digit 5 is recognized as a number. The semicolon at the end of the line is recognized as a separator. Each of these chunks is called a token. The compiler has done what your eyes do instinctively when you read English. It has split the letters into words. The second stage is called parsing. The compiler takes the stream of tokens and arranges them into a tree. The shape of the tree expresses what the programmer meant. If the sentence had been, the value 2 plus 3 times 4, the tree the compiler builds is one where the multiplication of 3 and 4 is one branch, and the addition of 2 to that branch is the trunk. This is how the compiler enforces operator precedence, the same precedence you learned in elementary school. A tree is a shape that captures meaning. The compiler now has a tree. The third stage is called type checking or semantic analysis. The compiler now asks questions about whether the tree makes sense. Is X a number, or did the programmer use the same name elsewhere for something else? Are you adding a number to a string of text, which would be a confusion? Have you called a function that does not exist? In the Rust compiler, this is also the stage where a special, careful checker called the borrow checker runs, the part of Rust that we will meet properly several episodes from now. The borrow checker is, at this stage, asking its own particular questions about whether the program will be safe to run. The fourth stage is called intermediate representation generation. The compiler takes the tree, which is still close to the human's words, and rewrites it in a flatter, simpler form that is easier to reason about. Long, complicated branches become sequences of small, similar steps. This intermediate form is not yet machine code, but it is no longer the programmer's words either. It is something in between. The fifth stage is called optimization. The compiler now does what is, in some sense, the most magical part of its job. It looks for ways to make the program faster without changing what the program does. If the programmer wrote a loop that runs 10 times and the body of the loop is short, the compiler might unroll the loop, replacing it with 10 copies of the body written out one after the other, because the chip is faster at running straight-line code than it is at jumping back to the top of a loop. If the programmer called a small function inside another function, the compiler might inline that call, pasting the small function's body directly into the larger one. If the programmer wrote a calculation that the compiler can solve at compile time, like 2 plus 3, the compiler quietly replaces it with 5. Modern compilers spend an extraordinary amount of engineering effort here. The optimizer is where decades of research have accumulated. The sixth and final stage is called code generation. The compiler takes the optimized intermediate form and emits, finally, the actual sequence of small whole numbers that the chip can execute. Different chips speak slightly different dialects, called instruction sets. The chip in most laptops speaks one called x86-64. The chip in your phone speaks one called ARM-64. The compiler knows the dialect and produces the right numbers for the right chip. The result is an executable, a single file, sometimes only a few megabytes, that the operating system can launch into life. Now, here is the part of the story that surprises people. Many modern languages do not do all six of these stages themselves. They do the first four, the ones that depend on understanding the specific language, and then they hand the intermediate form to a piece of shared infrastructure called LLVM. LLVM was started in 2003 by a graduate student named Chris Lattner at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. Lattner went to Apple in 2005. Apple's C compiler, called Clang, shipped on top of LLVM in 2007. Since then, LLVM has become the back half. The last two or three stages, for an enormous range of modern languages, including Swift, Julia, Zig, and Rust itself. When a Rust compiler, RustC, finishes its type checking and borrow checking, it hands the intermediate form to LLVM, and LLVM does the optimization and the code generation. This is why a Rust binary, in production, is as fast as a binary produced from C or C++. Same backend, same accumulated decades of optimization research. There's one more concept worth naming today, because it shapes how programmers experience their work. Some languages are not compiled ahead of time. Python, the most famous of them, is interpreted. When you run a Python program, a different piece of software called an interpreter reads your source file line by line while the program is running and acts on each line as it encounters it. There is no separate executable. The trade is in speed. Compiled languages, having done all the work up front, run much faster, often by a factor of 10 or 100. Interpreted languages, having deferred the work, are slower at runtime, but more flexible while the program is running. You can modify the program while it is running. You can evaluate strings as if they were code. You can hot reload pieces of the system without restarting it. Interpreters trade speed for flexibility. There's a middle path called just-in-time compilation, often abbreviated to JIT. The interpreter watches the program run, notices which functions and loops are getting executed most often, and compiles those parts to machine code on the fly, while the program is still going. Java, which was created by James Gosling at a company called Sun in 1995, evolved a famous JIT compiler called Hotspot, which shipped in the year 2000. The JavaScript engine inside the Chrome browser, called V8, started by an engineer named Lars Bak at Google in 2008, does the same for JavaScript. This is why modern Java and modern JavaScript can be surprisingly fast, even though both started life as bytecode interpreters. Rust does not need a JIT. Rust compiles ahead of time, directly to machine code, and stays ahead of time. The cost is that you wait for the build. The benefit is that what you ship is already optimized, and the chip can begin running at the moment the operating system hands the file. Now, where this matters in your day, even if you never write a single program yourself, is that a compiler is the first piece of software a programmer talks to every morning. It is the patient teacher, the careful reviewer, the colleague who reads what you have written and tells you with great precision what you got wrong before anything else has a chance to see it. The Rust compiler, in particular, has become famous for this. Starting around 2017, the Rust team, led by an engineer named Esteban Kuber, treated the messages the compiler shows you as a kind of user interface to be designed. When you make a mistake in Rust, the compiler does not snarl. It points at the exact span of code that troubles it. It explains what it thinks you meant. It often suggests the exact change you can paste back in. Every error has a 4-digit code, and you can ask the compiler to expand on that code, and you'll get a multi-paragraph essay about what the rule is and why it exists. The Rust compiler is the most pedagogically generous compiler the field has ever produced. You will be corrected by it dozens of times a day when you first start. Each correction is a small lesson. After a few months, the corrections grow rare. You have been taught 3 things to carry away. First, a compiler is a translator. Its input is text. Its output is the small whole numbers the chip can execute, and it does its work in roughly 6 stages, from splitting letters into words at the start to emitting machine instructions at the end. Second, much of the most expensive part of that work, the optimization and the code generation, is done by a shared piece of infrastructure called LLVM, which is one of the reasons modern compiled languages, including Rust, can be as fast as they are. Third, the compiler is not a guard at the gate. It is a tutor at your side. And a good compiler, the Rust compiler being the best example, makes itself worth talking to. Next time on Rust, gently, we will move from the lonely act of writing code to the social act of writing code together. We will look at version control, the system that lets thousands of strangers, separated by continents and time zones, work on the same software without anyone losing their work. We will meet a tool called Git, born in a panic in 2005, that quietly runs the entire industry now. Until then, take good care of yourself. I will see you in the next one.